Shlishi in the parsha, the focus, certainly for most of the Aliyah, is on the building of the Mishkan, the making of the Mishkan. So you can say one second, Rabbi. The entire parsha deals with the Mishkan, right? What do you mean that Shlishi deals with the Mishkan? So the answer that I just want to point out, this is something which has always been a curious little bit of trivia. If I were to ask the question right here, my guess is that most people will not get this right, but I'll ask it. What are the two meanings of the two usages of the term Mishkan in this week's parsha? Yeah?
Well, one of them is the actual covering of the cloth covering.
Okay, so then there you go. There's the right answer. Right, so one of them is the Mishkan, if you go with the capital M. Right? Now it says, well, there's the other Mishkan with the lowercase men, which is just referring to the 10 panels that were linked together that formed the tent over the krashim, over the walls of the panels of the Mishkan. Because the actual covering is called the Mishkan. There are actually three different layers, and they have three different names. There's the Mishkan, which is that first layer, which was intricately woven with, which we'll talk about in just one moment, in terms of the Tchelet and Argaman, and basically looked a lot like the Parochet, looked a lot like the curtain that separated the Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKodeshim, except that it was on top. Of the structure, that's the Mishkan. On top of that is the Ohel, the tent, which was a protective covering for the much simpler, not 10 panels, but 11 panels. And on top of that was the Michseh, the cover, a waterproof cover of Or Tchashim, of various animal skins that was put on top of those other two layers to waterproof to protect the three layers, or the other two layers of the Mishkan. So you have the Mishkan, a protective covering the oil, and on top of that, another Michseh. So I wouldn't say troubled me, but I was always thought about it. From the time that I realized that there were two Mishkans, right? Mishkan, when we talk about the entire complex, including everything, that all of the Kelim, etc. And this Mishkan, the lowercase Mishkan, with the panels themselves. Why is this called a Mishkan? Right? So the simplest answer is, of course, that Mishkan, meaning that this is what made the enclosure. It covered the walls, and that's the Mishkan, right? That's, if you will, the encompassing the Shekhinah, right? God's dwelling place, the same Lishkon, to dwell, right? So the Mishkan is accomplished when you have a building, a closed structure, and that is formed by this covering of the Mishkan. So that's called the Mishkan as a result. That's the simplest answer. If you take a look at some of the other Parshanim, especially those who have a bit of more of a Kabbalistic turn to them, the Archaim HaKadosh, for example, the Klei Yakar. So you'll see that they give a deeper meaning to the makeup of this Mishkan, to explain what it is, these 10 panels, for example, Keneged, the Esar Dibrot, or Keneged, the Asara ma'amarot shenivru ha'olam, the 10 different ways, different sayings when God said, Vayomer Elokim, God said, and that is what created the world. So this Mishkan is the world in microcosm, and that's the meaning for it. Of course, if you take a look at those perushim, you'll see much more depth and subtlety than what I'm presenting right now. And so, fine. So you could say, okay, I understand the basic concept, the basic covering. I can understand, or perhaps not totally understand, but I can begin to try to grasp the metaphysical meaning of this. And then, But I have to be honest with you. I don't have to be honest with you, but I'll be honest with you. It never was totally satisfactory to me, looking at those reasons. But still, the idea of the Mishkan. Now, I don't have a... I'm not going to give you something which is going to be particularly deep at the moment, but I think it's so basic that it came to me as I was looking this morning, actually last night, and I was thinking about this problem a little bit, and it just hit me. And the... something which, on the side, was a comment of the... not dealing with this particular problem that... that hit me this point when I looked at something that the Nitziv said. The Nitziv says the following. When it talks about the Mishkan, this Mishkan of the covering Mishkan. So the Torah says the following. What is this weaving supposed to look like? Kruvim ma'aseh choshev ta'aseh otah. And so if you take a look at any of the picture books of the Mishkan, there was the there should be woven into the fabric an image of the kruvim, of the cherubs, into the whatever they look like, into these panels, and they need to be done ma'aseh choshev, in a well thought out and expert manner. The Nitziv just points out the following. U'beparochet, as I told you earlier, the Mishkan and the Parochet, the panels looked very, perhaps even identical one to the other, looked very similar. U'beparochet k'tiv ma'aseh choshev ya'aseh otah kruvim. The Nitziv just points out that the order is flipped. Here it's the kruvim ma'aseh choshev, and there it's ma'aseh choshev ya'aseh otah kruvim. So he says, "Diyesh hevdel ba'ofen asiya." There was a different way that these panels had to be made between this and the parochet. D'biriot lo haya tzarich lachshov mitchila shiteyal tatzura shachel b'da'ato la'asot nigmeret al zeh hayiriya sharei yitfor ota imachota uti nigmeret hatzura sham. How were the kruvim made? In the parochet, there's one panel. And you had one craftsman, with the team being led by one craftsman. And that craftsman wove the image of the kruvim into that panel. But here, it was a more complicated process. Here, the kruvim were formed when the panels were connected one to the other. In other words, there were different parts of the kruvim on different panels. And when they were linked, you saw the image of the kruvim. Until they were linked, you didn't see the kruvim. It was only that connection that brought the kruvim. And therefore, here it's the kruvim ma'aseh choshev ta'aselta. Only through a carefully thought out process, a team process, could you make the kruvim. And then I saw... once I thought about that for a second, that this Mishkan was a team practice, there were all sorts of other issues that came up that the Parshanim deal with, and I'm not going to get to them right now, but you can take a look at the Psukim and take a look at the Parshanim, and Tziv points this out as well. Different aspects, how the Mishkan was not the product of one particular craftsman. One person can make an aron. One person can make a menorah. One person can even make each part of the each keresh and you link them together. But the Mishkan can only be made when every person who's involved thinks out carefully together how their work is going to look as a whole, as a unit. In our own, each part of the Mishkan, maybe that's an individual effort. To make a Mishkan, v'asuli Mishkan, v'asuli Mikdash, v'shachanti b'tocha. It's not something to be made by one individual, one great craftsman, a Bitzalel, or even a Moshe. Mishkan, for it to really to be able to create a makom l'shechina, that's something that every person has to play their role. Have a wonderful